more you organize and manifest your powers and your abilities, the more you are likely to succeed in this world. So we're taught. But the ways of God are never the ways of man.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The bliss of the meek. And it's based on this powerful beatitude in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 5, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The real greatness of this beatitude is hidden from modern eyes because the word meek has come down in the world. To modern ears, the word meek describes a weak, flabby, milk and water, spineless creature, lacking all virility and all masculinity, unable to stand up for himself or for anyone else. Those are the kinds of images that have a way of conjuring up in our minds as we think of this word meek. But that is very far from its original meaning. This word meek, as it appears in the original language, the Greek language, is so great and is so comprehensive a word that it almost defies translation. There is hardly a single word in the English language that can accurately convey the content of the Greek word that we translate meek. One of our purposes will be to try to define what that word means, and then urge you and myself to embrace the implications of it. We live in a world that worships power. We live in a world that worships self-expression and self-assertion. The more you assert yourself and express yourself, the more you organize and manifest your powers and your abilities, the more you are likely to succeed in this world. So we're taught. But the ways of God are never the ways of men. Friedrich Nietzsche, who molded a great deal of the philosophical background of World War II Nazism, and who's still revered in many contexts in our world today, universities, certain elements of the secular world. Friedrich Nietzsche said, "Assert yourself. The world is yours if you can get it." He said, "Might is right." It's the motto that appears over every concentration camp in the Second World War. He also said, "God is dead." And he cursed the Christian faith in his book, The Antichrist. There was a reason for Nietzsche's noisy unbelief, and it was because he was a moral pervert. And every man who is morally perverted will be theologically defective. Every man who is warped morally will resist God's truth and God's standard. Friedrich Nietzsche had syphilis at the age of 22. He gave up his professorship at 35 because of syphilis-related diseases. He was totally insane by the age of 46. He spent the last 10 years of his life in a madhouse, and he died at the age of 56. His writings were the product of a diseased mind. Jesus Christ never said, "Assert yourself." He said, "Humble yourself." Jesus Christ never said, "The world is yours if you can get it." He said, "The world is yours if you renounce it." "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God," he that renounces the system of the world, the philosophy and the practices of the world, "he that doeth the will of God will abide forever, and he will inherit the earth." Nietzsche, from a diseased mind, yet revered by secular humanists of our day, Nietzsche said, "Assert yourself." Jesus said, "Humble yourself. Blessed are the meek." Nietzsche said, "The world is yours if you can get it." Jesus said, "The world is yours if you renounce it." Nietzsche said, "Might is right." Jesus said, "Right is might." You do what is right, and you'll have the power and the blessing of God in your life. Nietzsche said, "God is dead." Jesus Christ claimed to be the very personification of the living God. Nietzsche died. It was an act of insanity and madness. Jesus died. It was an act of love and charity. And he was uniquely raised to life. The whole course of history has been changed, not by the proud self-assertiveness of a Friedrich Nietzsche, but by the powerfully meek character of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The two greatest leaders and lawgivers the world has ever known were both marked by this great moral virtue called meekness, and every one of us ought to embrace it. Moses and Jesus Christ. I read in Numbers, the 12th chapter, in verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." And I read in Matthew 11 and verse 29, and these are the words of Jesus, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." I am meek. The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. The two greatest lawgivers and leaders that ever influenced the course of history on the face of the globe, Moses of the Old Testament theocracy and Jesus Christ of the New Testament church, were powerfully meek individuals. It's imperative that you and I come to understand what it means to be meek, and that it's imperative that we embrace its implications in our lives. The first thing I want to say to you about meekness is I want to give to you the essence of meekness. I want you to see a logical development in the Beatitudes, and then I want to give you a linguistic or language-oriented definition of the word. I want you to understand what the word means. I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. I believe that every word of God is God-breathed in the Scriptures, and it's important to understand precisely what God is saying. So first, I want to give you the logical development in the Beatitudes and then the linguistic definition of meekness. So we see the essence of meekness. Then I want you to look very quickly with me at the expression of meekness, in particular at four areas where it ought to surface in our everyday lives, and see whether or not it's being expressed in your life in those areas. The expression of meekness. And then finally, I want you to see the effect of meekness. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." There's a sense in which we do that presently, and there's an ultimate sense in which we will do it prophetically or prospectively in the future. Now, first, let's look at the essence of meekness just for a moment. And I think there's a very logical development in the unfolding of the Beatitudes. There is first that fundamental postulate, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That's where it all begins. "Blessed are the poor in spirit," that recognition of spiritual bankruptcy, without which no man shall enter the kingdom of God. That spirit of humility which says, "God, you're right and I'm wrong. You're rich and I'm poverty-stricken. You're holy and I'm sinful." Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are willing to admit their spiritual bankruptcy and accept God's divine evaluation of their nature and God's divine solution for them in a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, when a man has truly faced himself and admitted his spiritual bankruptcy, his poverty and his sin, and especially as he turns to face a holy God, and he sees the infinite chasm between the ugliness of his own personal sin and the radiance of God's holiness, he is inevitably turned into a condition of mourning, of genuine sorrow and contrition. So the next beatitude is, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." The result of those first two is that the man wishes for release from the powers of evil. He wishes for some source of inward strength to become all that God intended for him to become. Maybe that's the burden of your heart as you're listening to my voice over the radio. That's the burden of your heart. You're longing for some source of inward strength that will give you the power, the dynamic, the moral virtue to be all that God intended for you to be. That's precisely what meekness is all about. Meekness is a very powerful moral virtue that enables me to control the ugly elements of my being and allow the divine elements placed in me when I became a Christian to come to the surface. Meekness is the power to become what God wants me to become. Now let's go a little further and define it more precisely. We've looked at a logical development. Let's look here at a linguistic definition for just a moment. What is meekness, more precisely? What is meekness? Jesus said, "Blessed." Oh, the bliss. Oh, the joy of the man who's meek. We ought to find out what it is. By the grace of God, become it. Embrace it. What is meekness? Meekness is power over power. And that'll make sense in a moment. Meekness is power over power, or power which is held under control by a higher power. Every man, every woman has certain energies. Every one of us has certain energies, certain powers. We have physical energy. That's the power of our body. We have emotional energy. That's the power of our passions. We have intellectual energy. That's the power of our mind. We have volitional energy. That's the power of our will. And these are powers that need to be brought under control. They are terrific servants. They are terrible masters. They must be brought under control. In the Bible, meekness is that controlling factor. The man who is integrated into his life, the character quality of meekness, who has become like the Lord Jesus Christ and like Moses and like other characters of the Scripture who were meek, the man who has integrated the character quality of meekness into his life is the man who has gained control over the powers of his life, his physical, emotional, intellectual, volitional, spiritual powers are channeled and controlled by God into extremely significant, productive avenues of Christian service. It's a very powerful concept, meekness. The Greek word is praus, P-R-A-U-S. And it has a very rich history. Let me illustrate it for you if I can quickly. It has a very rich history. In the ancient world, praus was a medical term. It was used to describe a soothing medicine. Here is a man wrestling with a fever, and the doctor diagnoses his circumstance and prescribes a solution, gives him a medication that quiets him and relieves the burning so that he can sleep. He brings the disease under control. That's meekness. It was not only a medical term, used of a soothing medicine, but it was a verbal term. It was used to describe mild words, while engaging in the process of communication. Meekness is the power to bring under control a conversation. How we need that. It was a nautical term. It was used by the sailors to describe a cooling and a refreshing breeze on a hot and a sultry day on the Mediterranean. Meekness is that which has the power to bring the wind under control. It was a social term in the ancient world. I'm giving you ways in which this word was used in all kinds of literature, within and without the Bible, in the ancient world. It was a social term used to describe the warmth and the gentleness of relationship which exists between good friends. Meekness is the power to bring a relationship under God's control.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Those who have power over their powers, those who have subjected their personal powers to God's divine control.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.